Mike, okay. The recording started.
Right now?
Yeah, so you don't, like, sit there on your phone the entire time.
Nope, still gonna do that.
We know. Let's do some shopping online, guys.
Yeah.
So, Mike, did you happen to listen to today's Awesome with Cody?
Nope.
I did some shopping while I was on there just to
make Tim happy. Just to fuck with him?
I was talking about Amazon, the Whisper Sync.
Did you shout out everybody else? Keep talking.
Yes, I was like, keep talking. Well, keep I kept talking.
Talk
about
amongst
doing
yourselves.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Come on, guys. Why? Oh, I'm the only one.
I was just trying to think of stuff to say while I was doing it, and I was like, oh. And then the first book I go to, I owned already, so it didn't show the Audible price. It says this is already in your library. I was like, fuck, god damn it.
But you have to go into your like history or something like that of your purchases.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, the next book. And I was like, okay, this is it. See how this works? Speaking of how it works, comes naturally, we are
Joe,
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to the show, everybody. Guess what we're going to talk about today?
Jumanji?
We are going to talk about Jumanji.
Jumanji!
Welcome to the Jungle. The movie Mike hasn't seen yet.
Yeah. Yep.
Most people haven't seen it because it came out today as of recording.
Yeah.
2 days ago.
I guess we could talk about the movie that all of us have seen.
I guess I'm just going to say this right now before we get started into anything. There will be spoilers.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, or a little movie called Star Wars The Last Jedi, you should probably stop listening unless you want to be it ruined for you. So.
Can real quick, before we get into spoilers, can I just say I read the book, and so fuck you guys for thinking I wasn't going to do it?
No, because we have no proof you read it.
I read it.
We haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah.
I read it.
That's later.
So there's questions that you had.
No.
I just wanted to make sure, because Star Wars is going to run.
Star Wars
is going to run the whole entirety of this podcast.
And then we'll get into other stuff.
And I just
want to make sure. The new format is this. We go over what we watched today. And then we go over new stuff.
But this is Star Wars. This is like a special event.
Oh, we're definitely going to be talking about Star Wars for sure.
The whole time.
I'm probably not going to talk about Jumanji.
Yeah, we're not talking about Jumanji. One,
Jumanji, hilarious. Lots of penis jokes.
Go see it.
Yeah. I will.
And a little bit teary.
What? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You gotcha.
Yeah, actually,
you're such a sappy bit. Oh, Joe too?
Booyah! Yeah. Mike's gonna cry for sure.
It was a happy ending.
It was a happy ending. It was a happy cry. Not a fucking cry.
He actually died.
Dude. Cry. Didn't see it yet.
Bro.
Just saying.
Spoilers, bro.
I'm preparing him.
Fair enough. All right. Not everyone makes it.
I've already said that it's a happy cry.
It is a happy cry.
Did Jonas kid die? That's what I'm putting my money on.
No.
Oh. All right.
But
I would honestly say surprisingly good. Yeah, his acting.
Oh yeah, no, he's one of the better ones.
Something
though.
On Amazon, like as a fighter on an Amazon like TV show or something like that, that got a lot of positive reviews. But like nobody saw it.
Was that Nick? Isn't this one right?
Yeah.
Nick.
Right? Nick, yeah.
Like he's been getting some buzz as an actor.
He's done a few things that I think I've seen, so. So before we get into the main event, just an update on January 3rd, our prep for our 200th episode. Again, we are going to be doing the Hot Ones Challenge live on Facebook and live on Instagram and all those other things.
Live. What's the Hot Ones Challenge?
Oh, thanks for asking, Mike. So the Hot Ones Challenge is this, if you haven't seen the web show. We will be eating 10 progressively hot wings while answering questions.
In parentheses, chicken nuggets.
Yes. They are chicken nuggets covered in progressively hot sauces. We have 5 of them. We did a test sniffing today. I thought of that word right now. But we have 5 of them in the studio with us right now. We smelled them. A few of them don't smell terrible. A couple of them smell like feet.
Yes.
One smells like burning feet. Like if you were to like... I'll just give you this for the bomb. This is what it smells like, just so you get a reference in your head. If you took your gym socks, and I'm not talking like, you know, going to the gym now, but I'm talking like gym socks from like high school, you know, the ones you don't ever give your mom to wash, and they've been sitting in your bag for like 3 weeks, and they can literally stand up on their own like they're crusty, but you still wear them every day. Then you take those and you throw them in a hot dryer and let it run. That's what that smelled like.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
So, yippee for us. So, we will be doing that on January 3rd, which is, if I'm not mistaken, 2 weeks from today. Right?
Sure.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Christmas is Monday. Mm-hmm. New Year's is that day. Yeah, so yeah. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks from today, live on Facebook, roughly around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, somewhere around there in the time, so people will be home from work or they can watch it while they're at work. And the four of us, supposed to be four of us, will be...
The three of us, let's be honest.
We'll be performing the Hot Ones Challenge, so you can watch us be in agony while we... suffer some hot wings and answer questions. So booyah, that's that for that. Yeah. Let's get into the business, kids. The business. The business is this. Star Wars The Last Jedi just came out. Officially Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi. So you can't go by the posters because officially in the word crawl it said Episode 8. Because everyone's expecting, oh, they're not going to call it Episode 8. It was. It was.
Why wouldn't they?
Well, none of the posters were called Episode 8 because when they first came, remember when Force Awakens first came out, people were like, oh, they're not going to call it by the episode number. And then the official poster came out and said Episode 8 or Episode 7 on it. This one, none of the posters have actually said it. So people are like, oh, they're going away from the numbers. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
People need to get lives.
So they need to, do more than that. Anyways, let's go over what we normally do. We'll do impressions. Impressions, not impressions.
Oh, like, I'm a Jedi. I'm the last Jedi.
Movie stuff.
Hey, Luke.
If you were the last Jedi, what color would your saber be? Mine would be blue. That's Harry Carey as a Jedi. So we will start with Michael.
Yes.
Your thoughts, your top five things that you loved this, that you saw, and then the one thing that you were surprised by.
Five things.
You added two more.
Hold on.
I did that for Joe because Joe's like, oh, you're gonna ask like your regular question when we're on the show. I'm gonna forget what they are. That's my impression of Joe complaining about asking this question. Right? It's, you thought he was here with me.
I am here, but yeah. It's not a bad impression. Not quite what I said.
I forgot the A part. You
Not quite what I said. But yeah.
But anyways, see, he was worried because he's like, I'm not gonna remember all this stuff.
No. Again, not what I said.
Good.
I said, I know normally that I would have an issue remembering all the stuff. So there's, I took a more active approach in trying to remember the things that I really liked. The problem was,
he wrote them on his penis.
There was a lot of things that I liked.
So many.
That's why I moved it to five. From.
So it's hard to choose three because I said you're going to ask what are the three things.
So I made it easier on him, but also harder.
Yeah,
because he was prepared for three, and added two more.
Curveball, bitch,
motherfucker, trouble with the curve. That's the movie with Clint Eastwood. Yeah,
yeah,
Justin Timberlake.
Yep,
Justin Timberlake. I forgot he was in that movie.
And Lois
Amy Lane. Adams.
Yeah,
she can't go by Lois Lane in that movie. It's a copyrighted character name. I mean, you guess you technically could call her that, but people be like, so does Superman show up in this?
He's the one that's having trouble with the curve.
Where do you think the curveball came from? It's a Superman
movie.
The
other side of the planet?
Curveball, this is a Superman movie.
The planet?
Curveball.
Superman 9.
It's a twist. Michael, your thoughts, and then your five favorite things and one thing you were surprised by.
I like the movie.
Okay, that's a good start.
My five favorite things in no particular order.
Yep, top five.
In no particular order.
Top five.
Particular order. Top five things in no particular order. Top five things. I'll give you number one. I know what my number one is. So I'll get there.
Eventually, yeah.
Because those are at five is Benicio del Toro's performance.
Okay. Yeah.
God damn, was he good?
Yeah.
And like the weird stutter. Spoiler: he has a stutter. I don't know why. I know. I don't know why he chose to play it with a stutter, but
you almost stuttered. That was amazing.
Yeah, it worked.
The stammer. It's like it's more of a stammer than a stutter.
Yeah, because it's only on certain.
It's when he starts to say stuff, but it's never like in the middle of a sentence. Like he doesn't catch one semblance or something with a word or
but just letters. Just the it's way just he played his character.
Very scumbaggy the entire time.
Eccentric, but not like, but still had some good to him.
Spoiler, he's a bad guy-ish person.
Ish, too. Like, that's the best part about it, is it's an ish. He's not a straight-up bad guy.
He's like Han was before Han got a purpose, where he looked out for Han.
Yeah.
Even if it fucked other people over.
And even so, him fucking the other people over was only after he fought everyone was fucked anyway. Yeah. You know, and so he was like, I'm gonna get the fuck out of here.
He has some great lines, which does
seem
too.
Like a very, you know, early Han type thing to have happened.
He had some really good lines, the way he said things, like when he was talking to Finn in the ship, and he, if I'm stealing anybody's, when I'll shut up, when he's like, let's see who owns this beautiful, whatever it was, the ship they're talking about, the space yacht, and hit a button, and of course it comes with a hologram of different Imperial vehicles, and it goes to
the next wing,
and he goes, oh, look, to both sides, and he says to him,
yeah, he says, because this guy, some dude made his money off of selling weapons to the bad guys, and he's scrolling through all these bad guy ships, and then it got to an X-Wing, he's like, and the good guys.
And then he's like, war is just good or bad doesn't matter, the best way to survive is not to be in it. And I was like, okay, that's actually pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
And of course, the line he gives him at the end, when he's getting his payment for betraying them, and he says, they blow you up, you blow them up tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. It was you blow them up today, or they blow you up tomorrow. Either way,
yeah.
I can't remember exactly what he said. But then Finn says, like, you're wrong. And he stops and he looks at him for a second, and he goes, maybe. And he walked, and I was like, ah, fuck. That was one of my favorite line delivery right there, because, like, yeah, you don't know. We've had 1,000 fucking Star Wars movies and no clear-cut winner yet, so that made a lot of sense. I like that. So that's in my top five.
Four.
I need... I enjoyed the very brief but super awesome... and it was just a tease, but Luke and Rey got into it a little bit physically with...
He went right into trainer mode too.
Yeah, and I was like, oh shit! And I liked it because it's the only real time you get to see Luke fight,
really fight. Yeah,
yeah.
We'll get into that.
Mm-hmm. Why are you just giving the people?
I don't know. But I thought that was cool. Actually, seeing Luke, you know, active and doing his thing, and then Rey is so goddamn strong and powerful already. That you're like, Jesus Christ, when she really gets a hold of this thing, she's going to be.
And you even see his.
Super
his,
crazy.
You see in that same scene when he erupts the little building, the hut they're in, you see like the amount of power he has, truly. Jesus Christ, really?
Siri got you already?
God, yeah.
That was early. Thanks.
Thanks,
Siri. But he goes in there, he physically sees Kylo and Rey, and he says, stop, and he does that, and he fucking lets go, and the whole building just fucking falls apart. And then when they're in their fight and she knocks him down, he catches himself before he hits the ground, and he stops and then slowly goes down. Yeah, so
yeah.
pretty fucking cool. A lot of force use in this that wasn't more than just choking people,
but
that was there too.
There's some force chokes.
Go ahead. Number three,
I'm gonna say Poe piloting an X-Wing. In general, just
every fucking time.
Poe piloting an X-Wing is one of the coolest things.
You put Poe in an X-Wing in any of these movies, is going to be fucking amazing.
Dude, he does... They do more creative... Obviously, you can do more now than you could before.
When it was actual real things.
It almost... The Poe, you know, doing his thing almost feels like a really good car chase scene now in a movie. Like, it's so intricate, and there's so much that's going into it, and it's so cleverly done. That Poe flying X-Wings, definitely in my top five.
Two.
Fuck, man. This is tough.
I told you. Five's tough too.
And this not so much the scene itself, but just knowing the fact that Carrie Fisher has passed away in real life. And the fact that her and Mark Hamill got to have one more scene together, and the scene it almost seems to make sense, you know, knowing that
she passed away.
Carrie Fisher has passed away, and the scene's really well done, and it was so nice seeing those two on screen together again, and now we know for the last time, which probably would have been the last time even if she hadn't passed away.
Spoiler
going to the ending, maybe as a Jedi ghost could have popped up.
Yeah, but I mean, she's sensitive. She's force sensitive. She should be able to see him.
So that was really, really cool, and kind of like tug on your heartstrings a little bit. And would have done so even without Carrie Fisher passing away. And
just
that extra level of knowing what we know. So number one, though.
Uno. Numero uno.
Kylo and Rey teaming up to wreak fucking havoc on some motherfuckers. Goddamn. That was one of the coolest fight scenes ever. And I'm like, as I was watching it, I was like, fuck, man, this might be one of the coolest fight scenes I've ever seen in a movie. And then it kept going because you kind of expected it to stop pretty quick, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. They let the guards have some fucking...
Get some shots in.
Just stormtroopers, you know what I mean? Yeah, dude. And that's the first time we've seen the guards fight, right?
Yes.
Yeah, in the movie.
And these are different guards, too. They're dressed like the red guards that Palpatine had, but they are drastically different.
Yeah.
They're dressed like samurais, which is fucking cool.
Yeah, man.
They had special armor that could deflect certain parts of their bodies, deflect their bodies and lightsabers, because they could catch them on their arms.
So just that whole scene, and I don't know how you guys felt about it, but that whole...
Rock hard the entire time?
Kylo, face turn for a second that you thought was going to happen. You're like, I don't know if you guys did, probably not, because it was a naive thing, but I bet, I was like, holy shit, is Kylo gonna, because they set it up a little bit, he didn't blow up Leia, and you're like, oh, he's still struggling, and Rey believes in him, and he's gonna be a good guy. I'm like, who the fuck's the bad guy gonna be? And they kind of teased Finn.
Yeah.
For a little split second, gave you enough thought that Finn might be the one to say, fuck all this, and be an asshole.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of thinking, shit, maybe, I don't know, maybe he's going to be a good guy. And then, of course, after he wreaks havoc on everyone, he just wants to take over himself, and he still really wants to kill Luke. So,
because he doesn't want to...
Not so much a good guy.
He doesn't want to be the shoehorn for any one side. He wants to do it for himself.
Yeah.
And he knows that...
And from history, he knew he had to take Leader Dude out when he had a chance, and the way he did it, too.
Fantastic.
Because you see it start to turn... And you're like, oh, is he going to grab that shit?
Yeah, because you see his hand moving, and then,
ooh, and then,
and of course, the best part about that is, like, Snook's telling you exactly what's happening. So if you're not really paying attention, you're like, oh, shit, what's he going to do? Like, how's this going to work? Is he going to, like, sort of stab at her, you know what I mean? And they're like, you're like, oh, shit, like, no, he's going
to. Yeah, he's literally explaining what's happening, but not to her.
And the best part is, and he's because he can see what's in Kylo's mind and his heart.
He thinks he's right,
but he's not realizing. He's not seeing images. He's seeing feelings. And so when he says it, he doesn't say he's going to strike you down. He's going to strike at his real enemy. And I was like, you do know. Yeah. Oh, no, you do know.
Yep. And that just whole scene was so goddamn amazing. Yeah. And
as soon as the elevator ride up, where it starts, where they're like talking, and she's trying to like say, I've seen you turn.
Yeah,
and he's like, you know, and that line, actually, speaking of that, the line he tells her is the reason I think he's lying to her about her parents, is when he says, if you knew the truth, you would turn, because she would realize that they're junkers, like, that's just dumb, that's not gonna make her turn. I mean,
well, or that they abandoned her.
That's what I mean. So that's what he's using against her, but he's using that as like a negative, like they didn't abandon her technically, they put her somewhere they thought that she'd be safe because the Empire's not out there. You know what I mean? That sort of thing.
And that could go either way.
That's what I'm saying.
I took it as the other way. That you're holding out hope that your parents are actually good people and they're going to come back for you someday. But in reality, they're just drunken junkers that sold you off for
then he booze. Says you're nothing, you're nobody. I'm like, oh god,
yeah,
Kyle. That's what I mean.
To the way I took it is that he's saying that this is the truth. You're basically garbage. You should show the rest of the world, the rest of the universe, that you aren't garbage by joining me and ruling.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. But in the elevator, he's starting to tell her that what she thinks is not correct. And I think that's just the beginning of that whole lie. Is he doesn't want her to know the truth because he says, say it.
What she thinks,
you know, the more I'm thinking about it, too, I'm starting to think.
She knows that she's nothing. And she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to believe that she's not.
Yeah, because I think he can sense that in her, and the truth is not that. That's what I think, at least. But go ahead.
Yeah, you're making a valid point because there's a weird way how Snoke was like, Skywalker, I thought, but I was mistaken.
Yeah,
but it's like the way he said that too kind of led like
there's
he,
all these little yeah, key things.
It's a either or move at this point. They can go on to the next one and just it's a dead point now. It doesn't matter going forward. Or they could twist it up again and give you actual truth or whatever.
Well, I'll figure answer any goddamn questions.
Probably not.
Yeah, they didn't really
answer any. No, anything. Yeah, they didn't. Yeah.
Not I mean, you know, yeah, actually, why Luke was gone now.
You have one definitive answer in this movie, and yeah, it wasn't even a question that really anybody asked in the last from the last movie, just from the movies in general. Does Leia have the ability to control the Force?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the only question they answered in this.
For sure now.
Yeah, for sure. Joseph, your thoughts? Five things. Oh, one. Actually, wait, before, your one thing you were surprised by.
I'll give. Surprised?
Surprised by. One thing you were surprised by.
Well, the Rey reveal. That if that holds
if that's true. Okay, gotcha.
That's kind of not a letdown, but it's like
shocking.
Oh, all right, really wanted him to have something else, but
go thoughts five and then one surprise.
Okay, so my thoughts are this movie was absolutely awesome.
Yep,
from beginning to end. I can't think of one point where I stopped and was just like, you know, that didn't really feel no right.
Disappointment.
Or anything. Yeah, no disappointments. in it at all. And in fact, I might as well just transfer right into my
top five.
Top five is how absolutely gorgeous certain scenes in this movie were and how awesome was the audio, how amazing was the audio at those sequences. And so the first point I'm thinking of is where the one commander turns the ship around and just powers up the light engines and just jumps right through Snoke's ship.
Oh, Vice Admiral?
Yeah, Vice Admiral. Face, yeah. And that top-down shot that they have that shows the Snoke's ship kind of splitting apart, where it's just a very bright white light where she went through, and just the darkness everywhere else was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And just continuing on with that scene where you see the ripples through the rest of the ships.
As you see her ship, because it broke up as it hit
Snoke's ship,
and then, of course, separated into other parts, and then use that, and you see other trails go through, and the other Star Destroyers get split in half, or in threes.
Was absolutely fantastically gorgeous, and the fact that they dropped all sound from that, so you get a good, what, probably like 20 seconds, you know, maybe like 10 to 20 seconds right in there where there's no sound and all that's happening.
And then you hear it.
And then they pull back and you just fucking hear it.
Yep.
It was amazing.
I'll say this, though. Hearing that, seeing that and hearing that scene on a regular digital, which I saw on Thursday, it looked gorgeous. It sounded gorgeous. Cine One today, I was like...
Yeah, unfortunately, I've only seen it once, but the next viewing is definitely going to be Cine One, so I can kind of immerse myself in a little bit more.
Yo, just bring extra Kleenex.
Nah.
Yeah.
Because you will come.
Oh, so hard.
To love this movie empty. More.
Oh, okay, I see what you did.
And also come out of your penis. Of
oh, that too.
Kleenex
or extra socks? Which one do you...
If you want to jerk off into a sock in a movie theater, do what you need to.
Right,
I would say it's napkins.
It's more concealed than a Kleenex, I would say.
Not really. What's a sock for, Mike?
Yeah,
it's a tube sock.
Tube sock.
Why is it shaped like that?
Yeah,
and why does it smell? Anyways, go ahead. Oh. Number four.
Number four again, like Mike. No in particular order, though.
Number four.
Poe's drifting of his.
Yes, man. Is the fast and the fucking deadly?
Yeah.
Holy Christ.
But that whole entire sequence there where he pulls up one single little tiny X-Wing in front of that fucking, what was it?
Dreadnought.
And he hails Hickinson?
Hux.
Whatever the fuck his name is.
And he keeps...
General Hux.
And he keeps saying it like, I'm
yeah, holding for Hux.
Holding for Hux?
Yeah, still holding for Hux.
This is Hux. I will crush you. And he goes into this whole entire spiel and he's like, yeah. Still holding for Hux? Can he hear me? Yeah, he can hear you. And then he just powers up his engines and goes
his,
in.
His extra booster.
Hot, fucking hot. And just annihilates all those gun turrets. And finally gets the last one. But it's right there when he gets into that last one that he just drifts his X-Wing right through it and takes out the TIE fighters that are right behind him. Was fucking amazing. Oh.
Numero 3-0.
Sorry. Numero 3-0.
Yep.
Now it starts to get hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hard like
my penis.
The
That's what I was referring to, yes, penises.
the scene where it's an extension of the one where Luke shows up suddenly at the Rebel base. You know, you're not expecting him. I'm hoping that he'd be there. You know, they're pulling everything up, and that, you know, the Empire's dropped, what, 5 of their new walkers?
I think there's 6.
There's like 6 walkers. Yeah, 'cause it's the other side. That battering, quote unquote, battering ram type thing, which was literally just a mini Star Destroyer or Death Star laser.
Portable Death Star tech.
Yeah, exactly. And all hope seems to be lost up until he just shows up. And, you know, for me, I was sitting there going, like, he's going to show up. He's going to fucking Han Solo this thing where he just comes out of nowhere in his X-Wing, which they showed.
They show the X-Wing.
They showed God the X-Wing damn it. In the I water.
Thought, yeah.
So they kind of teased it like for me, I'm thinking, you know, obviously it probably doesn't fly, but does it?
Yeah.
Star Wars tech. Come on.
I mean, it was already underwater in a fucking swamp at one point.
Right? Exactly.
I mean, it's obviously, the inside of it has got to be watertight. Because, moist. It's got to be watertight because it goes in space.
Yeah.
So it has to be airtight, right? It can't be leak.
And it's not that far underwater.
Yeah, exactly. You can literally see it from there. So it's not like, you know, it's not like, oh, is that an X-Wing? No, motherfucker, that is an X-Wing. You can see that thing. Like, if the tide were out, it might be poking out a little bit.
But hope is a really big theme throughout all these
movies. What?
And it seems like they mentioned it more in this movie than I can remember it in previous movies, but it's right where Leia has said that she has lost all hope because she couldn't get a hold of any other rebel.
And we fought to the end.
Yeah. You know? And she is literally the last one that has been saying that hope is always there, hope is always there. And this is the point where she says hope is all lost, essentially. And suddenly, boom. Luke Skywalker shows up.
That spark of hope they needed.
That spark of hope that they needed.
Which they played up really well with having, like, the kids tell the stories on other planets of what happened with Luke, you know? Like,
yeah.
Later on, and you're like, yeah, this is going to be the turning point. People are going to be like, holy shit. And it's twofold. It's one, Luke showed up and took on all these fucking giant fucking things and didn't die.
Weapons of war.
You know, like all of them blast him at once and he's literally brushes off his shoulder.
Yeah, and that's the continuation of my point of what I liked about that sequence is that he becomes that hope point and he walks out there and everybody's like, you know, we should be helping him. We should be helping him. And Poe has finally grown up within this
because
movie.
Of what happened to him earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
He's forced to be a leader, not a hero.
Exactly. You know, so he's giving him time to, you know, Luke's giving him time to actually escape, and you have that just shoot him, just keep going.
That one AT-M6 fires its big cannon, hits the fucking dirt. You're like, well, okay, that's and then just it just unloads. I was like, uh-oh.
And it's at that point, I'm not sure about you guys, I was like, well, obviously he's not dead. You know, he's going to just, like, there's some force shield or something like that that has prevented him from dying. Smokes in the clear. He's, like,
on a perfectly circular
exactly.
piece that's protected by the force or whatever.
And he wasn't. But that's more of a retrospective thought
yep.
that he wasn't. Within the time, it was just like, oh, that was fucking badass.
You see him walking out of the debris. He walks
out of the debris and everything. And you're like, God damn, he is... really brought back the force within him, being the most powerful Jedi out there.
Yeah, just whipping that force dick everywhere.
And then he gets into the fight with Kylo. And he's just, you know, doing Matrix moves, you know, everywhere, just sword fighting, and it just seems so fucking awesome. And then you get the big reveal that he's not actually there.
Yep.
That he's been projecting himself from whatever planet that is this whole entire time.
From Ahch-To.
Ahch-To. I thought during that fight, because they obviously hinted at it very heavily, where he puts his sword or his lightsaber down.
Deactivates it.
Deactivates it. And he says the line, if you strike me down in hate, I will become more powerful than you can ever. Or anger.
I'll be with you forever.
I'll be with you forever, which is essentially what Obi-Wan Kenobi told Darth Vader. He says
like your father. Or like Han.
Like your grandfather.
Yeah, like your grandfather.
Or no, like your father.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, here it comes. He's going to strike him down. And he's just going to fall, and that's him going to be a ghost. And that is not what happened, because he went right through him, and that was the reveal of, like, oh, shit, he's not actually there. And fucking Kylo is pissed off that he's not actually
super confused at first. He's like, wait, what? And he walks over and he pokes him. And he's like, what the? Yeah, I was like,
and then just the, what's he say, see you around, kid, and just fucking disappears. And then you get the scene where he finally just accepts it, and
he's finally at peace.
Finally at peace, and is able to become a Force ghost. Yep.
Goes all dusty.
No, I don't think they go dusty. They just go.
Well, and it's cool the way they did it, because every time we've seen that, it was first with Obi-Wan, and he completed what he needed to complete. He'd set everything he needed to set in motion, and he saw Luke there, and he was like, "All right, well, this is it." Boom, and did it. We saw it with Yoda. Yoda got the point across in training, and that's when he left out. And this was the last thing that Luke needed to do. He needed to again,
pass it
spark
on.
Hope.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, as soon as the hope was sparked, and he realized, all right, it's up to Rey now, you know, basically. And it was as it was happening, it was so well done that all hope is sparked again for the universe, basically.
Off you of see the that stories, in the last scene.
The stories for Luke. But then you see everyone's hope as Rey fucking cleared all those rocks for everyone. And people are like, holy shit, we didn't know she could do this.
We didn't think anyone could do this.
Yeah, so like it was kind of a passing of the torch type of thing where he sparked the hope he needed to.
Passing of the saber.
Yeah, that too. And then going right into Rey instilling more hope right in front of everybody. So it's a good segue to it. I was going to ask you, did you guys know he wasn't there?
I'm going to get to that in a minute.
Because
when we start talking about details.
We had that discussion earlier, yeah. So number four is exactly what Mike was saying, the end of the movie with the kids.
Yeah,
how, you know,
they're telling the story,
telling the story, and
you see it instantly, that fame, because at that point nobody knows that he wasn't there.
Yes,
because it's fake news if Empire says, or the First Order says, oh, but Luke wasn't actually there. Like, motherfucker, like, we have word from people who were there that saw it.
Yeah,
he walked out face down all these war machines, literally brushed it off, and then one-on-one took down the most feared person in the galaxy and just walked away.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how the story's going to go, and that's how it's going to spread, and that's what you see when the kids are in the stable, and then, of course, the reveal of what that little kid can do when he walks away.
Yeah.
That was so gnarly, too, right? By the way.
That whole,
and, like, I had to double-take
you recognize it. The shadow, what they did with the shadow, right?
No, I missed the shadow.
Oh, did you see the shadow?
No, I mean, I was focusing on the fact that because he kind of used his, like, a little bit of a force power to pull that broom.
So he pulled the broom to himself.
And that's where I caught it first. And I was like, oh, shit.
So then he's sweeping. And as he stops and he looks at the stars and he sees that we don't know what it is, but you see something go into hyperspace.
Yeah.
The shadow changes. Instead of him looking like he's holding a broom, his hand shifted and it looks like a saber.
Yeah, but that wasn't... Yeah. I didn't get that in the shadow. I got that because he literally had...
Well, yeah, but I'm saying because the shadows are a big thing, like, because they did it with Anakin when he was younger, all the things.
Yeah,
and you can see the switch from... Because when they go and he's walking away, he's holding it, and you can see the shadow as a broom. And then once he sees that and he gets all excited... You see him sitting there, and he's looking at the saber.
And that felt like a throwback way to Anakin's story,
yes.
You know, being the slave kid and knowing there's something more. And dude used the Force. Like, and it was so nonchalant where I was like, did he just fucking Force grab that broom? Like,
I
to
I
him, had it's that, second nature, just like it was to Rey, and he had no idea, and he has no idea. It's just a thing.
Because it was like, yeah, it was so nonchalant where
I started to doubt that I even saw that. Like,
yeah, I did the same. I had to go online and check, like, yo, did that fucking, or was, did I like miss him stepping on it and exactly. falling over or something? But nah, man, he
that's what it was for. That's that's why they did it.
You think he's in the next one?
No.
No, he's just it's just the fact that it's out there.
That it's out there and people, and they kind of establish if Ray's parents thing is as is right now, they establish that basically you can come from anywhere. Like, you don't have to come from a lineage of, and you never had to.
You never had to be a Skywalker, yeah.
But that's what it's all been centered around.
Because of the movies.
Yeah. Because of the movies. So they're I think they're kind of reminding you, like, the Force is out there. It binds us all, like they've said.
That was the purpose of this, yeah.
And it's kind of reestablishing, like, Rey came from nothing. This little kid's come from nothing. He could be one of the next Jedi.
Exactly.
You know, Rey's going to be the Jedi coming up. But, yeah, that was a really cool thing that they did with that.
Number one. Yoda.
Okay.
Was absolutely fantastic. I didn't know he would be in this movie, but there were rumors once it came out, because obviously I saw it today. Everybody else saw it when it came out on
Thursday night.
But Frank Oz was there at the premiere, and so there was a lot of rumor, like, you know, wait, is Yoda in this movie, or was this just like, you know, he was invited because he was a part of Star Wars way back when? Nope, Yoda is absolutely in this movie, and he is crazy as ever when he was in Dagobah. Yep. I mean, I would say obviously, because that's kind of where his personality left off. It's absolutely fantastic that they used the puppet, because he's aged. Obviously, he was 900 something years old when he died, or not died, but became one with the Force. But the fact that he came along to still teach Luke, and to convince him essentially to go help everybody, that, you know, that the Jedi is something that just,
it's more than the religion.
It's more than the religion. It's something that needs to be destroyed, essentially.
The ideals of what a Jedi is,
because need to be destroyed. Because what he's saying, you know, Luke is trying to follow the book of the Jedi, which is literally what he had. He has that idea for an instant to go burn down the tree that houses the books of the Jedi,
but he gets
cold feet about it because it's a religion to him. Yep. And that's when Yoda comes along and says, no, this needs to end.
Yoda literally says, fuck that tree, yo. It was weird hearing him say fuck. Calls
down lightning.
And
it throws the shit out of the fucking tree. Yeah, it did.
And Luke is pissed. And that's when Yoda, you know, talks to him and just basically says that the way the Jedi are is not how they should be. So the order basically needs to end.
Yeah. What it's turned into is not what it was.
Exactly.
It's been you know, manipulated and changed into something that wasn't truly what it is.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a division of the balance.
Luke is like, well, it's everything to learn is in those books. And he's like, Rey already knows all that.
Yeah.
No.
That's just, what he's basically saying is, like, all that is just training wheels.
Yeah.
To get you going in the right direction. But you need to lose those training wheels to actually control.
He reestablishes what is considered probably the most important part, that the Jedi don't just teach from their successes and their strengths, they also teach from their failures. And when you go back and think about it, every prominent Jedi had made major mistakes and
overcome them,
or maybe not overcome them.
But
you know what I mean?
But even in that, like, never passed on those failures.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's why they got to where they were, because of that. Yeah. Luke bought into his own hype and said, oh, I am that legend that everyone believes I am. I can do no wrong. And then the one thing he does wrong, it breaks him.
Yep.
And because he sees that as the ultimate failure, when, no, like, you can't, you didn't do that. That wasn't you.
And his big failure was he had an honest thought, second guessed it, and just got caught the bad time.
Yeah,
you know?
He got caught in his failure.
Yeah,
and unlike anybody should have to do anyways. And the problem with that failure was so epic and so bad that he never went through. You know, he never went out to try to change it. He literally took that, which means the other person involved in that, Kylo or Ben, took that as, oh, that's what this was. I didn't fail you. That's why he said, did you come back to apologize to me? Because he believes that, yes, he failed. You failed me as well. Like, you as my teacher, as in my uncle, my loved one, you failed me. And look what I am now. I'm this monster that you made because of your failure. And Luke, because he never tried to rectify that failure, just compounded it, you know, fucking 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So, for sure.
But it's lighthearted, that scene. And he ends up bonking Luke on the head at least once that I can remember with his staff, yep. which right just made me laugh.
Yep.
The way he clamors up one of the rocks and he's just like,
Sits down.
And sets down. I was like, God damn it. That's.
He doesn't need to. He's a fucking ghost. Just, you know what I mean?
Happy.
You just called lightning down.
Did you kind of expect for him to sing about seagulls?
Yeah. That song has literally ruined Yoda.
It really has.
Like,
right?
I saw him like, oh, please ask if you can use his backpack while he climbs. Mm-hmm. No? Fuck. All right.
That's my five.
Surprised?
My surprise. I would say probably surprised that.
It can be one of your five if you want to make it.
No, whatever, and it is. It's surprised that Luke wasn't actually there. That he has the. Because we don't. That I can think of, we've never seen a Jedi actually
project
himself.
Not in movies, yeah.
In a movie, anywhere on a planet, let alone a whole another.
Outer rim to planet. Somewhere fucking. Yeah.
Exactly. You can see that it was very taxing on him in order to do this. So that was my surprise right there. And we'll go probably over it in a little bit. But the fact that, as we talked about before, when you watch it a second time, you realize there's so much that they were hinting at, saying that he actually wasn't there. But in blatant the heat of the moment, like, you're just like...
You're just too geeked out.
Exactly.
Because you're like, fuck,
it's happening. I'll be honest with you. Right when he sat down, I was like, I knew it.
When he sat down.
When he sat down and talked to Leia.
Oh.
And it was because of the way he looked.
The younger, the darker hair?
Yeah, the shorter hair and the darker beard. I was like, oh, this is when he last saw Kylo. Like, that's why he looks like this, because he's trying to get in Kylo's head.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah, they do more. But that right there, I saw that and I was like,
speaking of that, did you notice the differences in Luke's appearance when Luke was retelling the story of him almost killing him? And
it's all perspective.
Yeah. Exactly. It was just really
the three versions weird. You have. Yeah. Yeah.
And he looked so much darker in Kylo's retelling of it. Yeah.
His face wasn't as drawn, but his eyes were still intense.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to look at Luke's version, well, the first time you see it, which is the
Kylo
the,
version.
The first time you see it is which is Rey seeing it.
Oh yeah, that's right, Rey.
Because of what he says, like, and he has like he doesn't have any sabers ignited. And there's no sabers at all. You see, he's got that I've made a mistake type thing, mm-hmm. With him, and then of course you see Kylo's, which is the evil Luke,
mm-hmm.
And then of course you see from Luke's point of view, and it's a distraught like. Confused, I don't know what to do. Sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Cody?
I did not enjoy it.
That's lies.
I loved it. And I'm upset with myself, disappointed in myself, that I've only seen it twice.
Yeah, I would have figured that you would have seen it more. But
this would have been third, but being work the holiday fucked season, me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because work sucks. Retail's the devil.
Was it the last Star Wars that you basically almost took a week off and saw it every single day?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
I didn't really take the days off. I organized my days off to be in a row so I have them all off.
Oh, gotcha.
Because you can't take vacation in December.
But
yes, I did for Force Awakens. I saw it literally 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
And one of those days I saw it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the movie a lot.
Yeah, you did.
A lot.
Anyway, top five.
Top five in no particular order.
In
all particular orders. My number five would be the lessons that Luke gives Rey.
So all the three lessons that he actually teaches her.
Because that gives you what Luke sees as, like, he's on that brink of, he thinks he knows what the Jedi Order needs to be. He just hasn't come to the realization it doesn't need to be the Jedi Order.
Yes.
It needs to be the Force.
Yes.
He hasn't come to that realization until obviously the tree, in the last lesson from his former master. I like that whole sequence and things up to the, even that point where he goes to burn the tree. Because there's this that whole. I mean, obviously that's all together. There's really a lot of semblance or symbolism in there. There's a lot of meaning in that. You know, obviously the first lesson he teaches Rey is what the Force is, and it's not just this ability that Jedi have.
Yeah.
And the fact I like the comment he uses later on Rey too, or Kylo too. He says all the things you just said were incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing because she knows as much about the Force as every other common person does. The difference is she has a little bit of way of controlling it,
right?
But no one really knows outside the Order, and some people in the Order don't really know what the force is, and they think it is this force that only Jedi and
like Sith a magic power
can do. Yes, but it's the difference. The fact is that everybody isn't in tune with it.
Yes.
That's what links us. The Force holds us together. The difference is people who are in tune with the Force have the ability to manipulate it. And be able to see it and be able to control it.
And branching off of that, I think it's pretty interesting to think about how the animals react around a lot of the characters.
Oh, yeah.
Because there seems to be more of that link. You see it you kind of saw it in the previous movie. You see it more in this movie when they release those horse-like things.
Yep.
That there's kind of an understanding of what needs to happen. Not so much as what's going on, but, you know, these people are rescuing us type thing. So that whole link through the Force kind of seems to come into play, which is really cool. And the fucking puffins are fucking cute as hell.
Porgs. Puffins are the actual animals. We'll get over that in a minute.
Oh. The porgs are fucking cute as hell.
Yes. Adorable.
Yeah.
I think they finally nailed a really good, cute creature that wasn't a terrible choice, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people are like, oh, the porgs ignore me. No, they don't. You're just upset because you like something cute and cuddly.
Yeah.
And you want to be gruff and adult. Shut the fuck up. You love those little monsters. Number four would have to be the relationship between Leia and Poe.
It's a very... You did the wrong thing, but I like you for, you know...
In a way, I see it more of her training him like Luke was training Rey.
Yeah.
In their own aspects. Because obviously, Leia, as we know in this movie now, she uses the Force. I mean, most of us knew it ahead of time. We haven't been able to see it yet, other than her weird connection between Luke, you know, that sort of thing. That's never really explained a whole lot in the other movies. You know, being able to sense each other, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Which is one of the reasons that you don't get in the first movies why no one... Like, why can't she just find Luke? You know what I mean? Like, in this movie, you finally get the real answer is, like, because he's shut himself off. He's literally eliminated the Force from his life. He's no longer connected to that, which is why he has to do all the things. He lives fucking terribly and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty happy with it, but he's not happy with it. He's like, you know, this is where I came from. This is where I was getting away from, and I'm right fucking back at it.
Yep.
Blue titty milk.
That was green. That was
still.
It needed refrigerated to turn blue, I think, because that was.
Which is just, again, another fantastic scene.
Yeah. So I like that teacher student aspect, but the fact that in a good relationship like that, you care about the other person, and you can see that Poe obviously cares dearly for Leia.
Yeah.
And you see Leia. Does for Poe, but is trying to hold him at that standard. Like, I can't just let you do these things. I need to teach you these lessons, but every time you're just not learning.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to do. And that's why she finally demotes him at one point, goes from commander to captain.
Because he has the ability to be a great
leader. He makes those choices, but then he makes the other choice that is piss poor, and he won't do things like listen. You
know, and he's absolutely happy at the fact that, oh, we took down a dreadnought. Oh, my God, that's never heard of. It's like, but Leia has to be like, no, look, you have to look at this from the other perspective.
You have to look at
we've
the
lost
broad
every
stroke.
You know? Single bomber that we had in this fleet.
And half our X-Wings.
And that's it.
Yeah.
All these people died. Sure, we took down
one ship.
Dreadnought.
Yeah. Yes, it's a devastating weapon, but it's one ship.
And
as they proved, they had
escaping.
Way more than that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And damn. They could have easily got a further foothold away from them.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Mm. Yeah, so I like that aspect a lot. Numero three-o, I will have to say this will be a little more narrow versus the broader, like the ones I did. This, I think one of my favorite things was the scene between, actually I'll combine the two of these. The scene between Luke and Chewie for the first time.
Yeah.
When he breaks the door down and like there's that exchange of like, you know, what about Han?
Yeah.
And then that on that same coin is the interaction between him and R2.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the same thing. He can't find a way to explain to either one of them. Even though Chewie can technically understand because he doesn't have an analytical mind like a machine would. You know, like R2 obviously has emotions and he has things, but he's very, you know, he's just, he's there's no gray. This is black or white, you know what I mean? And, but Chewie has that emotional ability to flex and know things. Mm-hmm. But he just, like, he somehow can't fathom and can't explain. Even to Rey, like later on, he still has a hard time even explaining that when he talks about the whole interaction with Kylo for the last time, or Ben for the last time when he finally fell. He even has a hard time that at that point still articulating exactly why he does that. And it's not until the quote unquote fight between him and Rey that he actually can articulate it at that point where he's like, this is what happened. Because what happens is he finally allows himself to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the first iteration of it, like I said earlier, isn't the full truth. He doesn't talk about the sabers being ignited. He doesn't talk about any of it. He just talks about how he and Ben see this eye-to-eye moment where both of them know something bad's happening,
mm-hmm.
and it happens. But then later on, he tells her the truth, the full-on truth, and she realizes, like, oh, shit, like, he's no good to anybody like this. You know what I mean? So I like that a lot. Like those two scenes, like the Chewie scene and the R2 scene. Number two would have to be the throne room scene.
Mm-hmm.
I would even go to her landing on Snoke's ship and seeing the first person she sees is Kylo and he walks away from her. Like that's where I would start that scene from. And then, of course, the elevator scene and, of course, inside the throne room. Throne room is obviously just a gorgeous scene in general because the way they built it is just fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
With that weird red shroud, you're just like, wow, this is so weird. And then you realize it's just a view screen. It's like essentially a curtain.
Yeah.
You know?
You have that one giant magnifying glass that's right there.
Yeah. It's like, you're like, oh, like that's a. Because it's very reminiscent of the porthole that the Emperor looks at, you know, through in his throne room. But then, like, it's even more fucking like megalomaniac-ish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I don't need you to show me anything. I'm just going to look through this fucking magnifying glass because I need another thing to separate me from anybody else. It's like, god damn, like you're a fucking, that you are so crazy.
Yeah.
And I spoiler, if you don't know already, because we didn't really hint at it too much already, Snook dies. He dies in this movie. Now, does it mean he's dead? Maybe not. Yeah. We'll see what happens. But god damn it. That scene, because you're like, you get so much, you're like, oh, we're gonna learn more about him. We're gonna get this, you know what I mean? We're gonna get more. They're gonna say a name. Because we don't know, Snook may not be his real name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Palpatine. He didn't go by Palpatine, he went by Emperor.
Yeah.
You know, he went by Sidious. He didn't go by that name because that name had different meanings to him, you know, that sort of thing. So he goes by this, like, oh, you like supreme leader, like, it's just super ridiculous in its own right. And then the fact he has this moniker he goes by, and you're like, oh, he's gonna say something because he thinks that Rey's gonna die, so he's like, might as well just spill the beans, right? And you never get that point. And I was like, I love it, but I also hate it because I really want answers,
right?
But I don't really care they didn't get answers. Like, some people are like, oh, they didn't answer shit, this is fucking bullshit. I'm like, first off, they don't owe you anything, all right?
Yeah.
They don't owe you answers.
The story's not about Snoke.
Yeah, it's not about him, it's about her. And we still get those answers. It does, and that fear infuriates me because I truly believe that that's not the real, that's not the truth, that's not actually how it is. And the only reason why is I hold on to that is because I want her to be secretly somehow related to that whole thing because it would make sense. But also the fact that, like, little things like the fact that when in the flashback to her in Force Awakens, she's being held by Unkar, and you see that ship go away, and she's obviously sees that ship, and she's like, "This, you know, those are my parents. I know they are," and that sort of thing makes me hold out hope that there's more to it than just the fact that her parents were nobodies,
And I like the fact that her parents are just.
I get it, and I understand if that's what it is.
It adds more to that hope.
Yeah, and so I'm down. If that's what it is, cool. I'm not one to say you shouldn't be doing that that way. This is your art. This is your story. I like to project my own wants on it, but at the end, I have to deal with what ultimately. This is what it is, because, you know, no matter what anyone says, it's not Disney controlling the afterbag. It's still Lucas. Disney's just the fucking bank.
Mm-hmm.
It's Lucas. They obviously believe in what's going on, and they're keeping true because they have up until this point. They're keeping true what Lucas did. Yes, they went away from what Lucas wanted, but if you read any articles and stories, like, Lucas's whole idea was fucking batshit, so
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter. Because he's like, oh, I'm going to bring it back to where I was before. I had to change it for the first episodes 4, 5, and 6. I'm like, you mean where none of it made sense and you call people by direct names?
Mm-hmm.
Like Starkiller? That sort of thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm good with what we have now, so I'm going to continue being with what we got. So,
yeah.
I like that throne room scene so much. So much. Because of how, A, we finally got a real lightsaber fight between people who can manhandle and use lightsabers, as well as the guards who obviously have their whatever you want to call them, vibroblades or whatever it is you want to refer to them as, and they're obviously highly trained to defend or at least attack Jedi,
yeah,
and people,
yeah,
who are force sensitive, and because their armors, the armor plating on their arms are designed to be able to block lightsabers, because they do it. They actually, you know, hold it there. Mm-hmm. Their weapons are designed that way. The weapons transform from a sword to a whip, from a double-bladed bow to, like, two little axes, like, that sort of thing, well, that, you know what I mean?
The part where he's using his arm,
yeah,
to pull that whip part, yeah, back, I was like, oh, this is,
and
so
it's in the,
dope.
And that whip part is holding the blade of the,
yeah,
saber,
yeah,
and you're like, oh, shit, like, they're not fucking around, like, no. These, there's a reason, like, you think, like, oh, what good are these red ones gonna do that the other ones don't, right? They have, oh, shiny weapons, and you gotta realize, oh, no, that's the reason they're in this room, is because, for whatever reason,
they're high level
Snoke needs to, yeah, fucking have protection, because if someone got this far, that means they can do damage. They need these dudes to be able to put that same amount of damage,
well,
on somebody.
That scene slightly earlier where, was it Rey grabs a saber or something like
she
that?
She grabs Kylo's.
And then instantly all the guards just boom into attack mode.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh shit. Like, when that happened, I was like, well, this is gonna actually happen.
Well, they earlier in the movie, Kylo did it too, when he,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, the first time you see the guards go into attack,
yeah,
mode,
Snoke, and then hits him with lightning,
come, mm-hmm, back, and they come out real, yeah, quick. I was like, oh shit, we're gonna get, yeah, some action here.
That was the other part too I really liked too, was the force, the showing of Snoke manipulating the force more than just, like, choking Hux, you know, because in the first movie you didn't see Snoke do any of that stuff.
No.
You, like, we, because everyone had that question, like, oh, is he force sensitive or is he just a figurehead? Because that mirrors what they did with Palpatine, because in the first movie Palpatine didn't do anything. You just, mm-hmm, saw him. You didn't see him do any of that stuff, you know what I mean, in episode four. It wasn't until episode five where you really saw there was something there. And then, of course, episode six, obviously, like, you know, throwing lightning and everything. And I, the fact in this one is you see him and he limps towards Kylo. And when he gets upset at Kylo, he fucking bounces lightning off the fucking ground into Kylo and throws him back. And you're like, oh, so now he choke somebody from a distance like he did Hux, or he slams him into the ground. But this motherfucker just threw lightning off the ground to throw Kylo Ren, arguably one of the most powerful force users, across the fucking room. I was like, okay.
Which the Hux one, to me, was a particularly awesome choke, because he chokes him, slams him on the ground, drags him,
yep,
back about 10 to 20 feet.
So he looks up at him.
Exactly, yeah, and, yep, spins him around. And this is all just because, you know, he's just looking at a hologram, Snoke's hologram, and it was just like, oh,
that's Vader-style shit right there, too.
He can really do,
like,
this.
Like, Vader's on a different ship,
yeah,
somewhere else in the galaxy, and you're looking at him, and he fucking chokes you from that far, you know what I mean? And of course, the scene where Hux says, you know, the Supreme Leader's dead, and fucking starts choking, the camera cuts to Kylo, and he's got the fucking hand up, and he goes, no, Supreme Leader was dead. And I was like, ooh, oops. I do like the scene, though, when
should have shot him when he
when
he
Kylo
had a chance.
Was on the ground, and he's like, reaching for his gun. He wakes up and he covers his hand up like he's reaching for his gun, his blaster. And number one scene, I will say, was my favorite was Poe Dameron drifting an X-Wing to go around two bad guys to shoot them is my favorite scene of all time in any Star Wars movie because it was fucking dope. Because as Mike said, anytime you put Poe Dameron inside of an X-Wing, you're like, shit's going to go down.
Greatest it's pilot be in Star Wars dope. History.
Yeah. And they proved it in Force Awakens because he fucking just manhandles all those TIE fighters above Maz's cantina. But in this one, he goes out, balls out with some weird fucking hodgepodge of a fucking jump engine on the back of his X-Wing, goes towards what arguably is the most terrifying looking Starcraft I've ever seen until Snook showed up.
Yeah.
In that dreadnought. Because with the entrance of the dreadnought was a gorgeous scene. Because you see, from the planet view, the Star Destroyers show up, right?
You see,
boom, you hear it, and then you see one, and you see another one that goes jumps to space. You see them all, and like, there's that shot where they're like, he says, prepare your dreadnought. And you're like, oh, cool, that's a new type of Star Destroyer, right? And this fucking mammoth spacecraft just fucking just right in. And it's one of those things where, like, that's what I love about the newer movies, especially the way they did with Rogue One with the Death Star, but just, like, the ships just appear, and they're just cruising at that point, you know? They're just, like, because they were in hyperspace, because on one end, you can't really see it, you know what I mean? You see a ship go, and it's just, you know, lights up, boom, it's gone, right? That's it. You don't see the streak, blah, 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 right? And this, you see these massive devices just blink into existence, but you hear that pop.
Yeah.
And you got to know, like, oh, fuck. Like, god damn.
Yeah.
Like, this is some horse shit. Like, these things shouldn't be able to do that.
Nope.
And then this fucking one that is, like, 100 times bigger and badder. Like, just meaner looking, shows up. It's a darker color. It does not have even, like, smooth lines, smooth surfaces. It's just pocked with fucking cannons on top. And then, of course, you see the underbelly and those two giant fucking cannons, light up. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, god damn. Like, at this point, you're thinking, oh, I think they might have learned their lesson about the whole ultimate base thing.
Mm-hmm.
And holy shit. Like, just this one alone. And then, of course, later on, you get Snook's ship, and you're like, well, that dreadnought was a kind of a piece of shit, huh?
But that dreadnought led to another cool scene with Poe, where he literally comes in for a hot landing.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. He's on that dreadnought, and he uses that jump jet just to go right through its shields, because he needs to get to it close before they can target him.
No, I'm talking about when they finally destroy the dreadnought.
Oh, yeah.
And they need to get the fuck out of there.
Oh, yeah, and he pulls into the fucking...
pulls in, and he just a hot landing right in
there.
Yeah,
just boom. Yeah, and he's like, let's go. Yeah, he's last one in. He's like, oh, buttoned up. Yeah. Also, the other part where Kylo fucking comes in and destroys the launch bay inside their cruiser.
Yeah.
But that approach where they're firing, and then he just does the spin. You can see him firing, just taking out turrets. And then he goes, just stops the spin, goes right into the fucking hangar, and just... boom. I was like, fuck this kid, man.
Oh, that was almost a heart-wrenching moment as well, because you see Poe get knocked back and you're like, okay, Poe made it. Where the fuck is BB-8?
And his head bounces by. Yeah.
Comes back and I was like, oh, thank God, he's still alive.
They did a really good job with BB in this one again.
That was another fantastic the drunken little guy that's sitting there pumping coins into him.
They give you this droid that finally has like more a droid that is more animated and more characteristically like different than anything else, other than, you know, C-3PO and R2. And R2 has that attitude. You saw that in the prequels. They obviously were able to do more with him. But then you see BB, and he's just got this personality of his own. And he is this extra, like, he can do things on his own. Where, like, R2 does a few things, but he's always that sidekick. But BB's like, nope. I'll drive a fucking walker.
Yeah.
I thought I need to.
That was Benicio Del Toro's character.
I kind of did too.
I was all like,
he's redeeming himself.
And then the top blows off and BB hits in there. They just kind of
it pulls off and the top is still on its tether because it's being charged up or whatever. And he just comes by and he's like, nope. He's got his little arms out. Yeah.
I thought it was BB-8. I just did.
I did. I thought he's gonna redeem himself. Like, no. It's gonna be it. And then of course it's even better.
Peace, this piece, I'm out.
Yeah, and it was even better.
I want him to be in the next one so bad though.
I just, I mean, I don't know if he survived because he was in that area that was very
rapid. No, I don't know. I think he left.
He probably did. I'm just saying he was in that some shit happened right then and there. You know what I mean? I did like that scene though when she fucking when Holdo Vice Admiral Holdo just turns that ship and the best part is like, oh no, it's empty. They're just trying to fuck with us. We can clearly see now that we know those ships are out there.
I thought she was going to move the ship into
in the way, right?
Into the way.
And as soon as she got into that chair, and like I was like, oh, she's prepping to fucking jump to light space. She's going to fucking shoot. Like she's going to. I knew what she was going to do. I was like, oh, that's what she's going to do. She's going to go right. Once she started
making more of the turn, that was oh, wait.
Nice little character turn, too, because you're thinking she's a fucking piece of shit for a minute.
And then you realize that the whole time she's just doing what Leia set up. And
then loaded Poe up when he's knocked out. What do you say? Like this one's a troublemaker. I like him.
Yeah.
And Leia's all like, yeah, me too.
Yep. Yeah. You know, because it's like, you know, you get that sense because she's so closed off, and it's not because I don't think it's because she doesn't trust Poe. It's because it does go against everything that Poe would normally do,
right?
Yeah. And that he would cause more of a problem. And of course, obviously, once he found out, he did cause that problem.
Yes.
And she was correct about that. You know, but she was ultimately doing what Leia wanted to be done.
Yeah,
you know. Surprise scene, right? Surprise scene. It's a toss up between either the Yoda, which I totally forgot that I knew he was in it.
I didn't know.
And I didn't know how much he was going to be, like what part of it. I didn't know if it was going to be like the first one was a flashback and it's just him, you know, voiceover or whatever. Which in the first one it wasn't him, a new line. It was just. That line, a reused line.
Yeah.
That one, and of course the whole Luke on Crait, which is the salt planet, the mining planet, thing. That whole and we'll talk about that more now. That just threw me off because I was like, I thought it was gonna be his Obi-Wan moment. You know, exactly. He was gonna go that like what they thought was gonna happen. They totally led me into it, but I'm saying like Obi-Wan moment where he gets cut down in front of everybody, you know. But he did it even better because he's like, no, I don't need to be cut down because from a distance it doesn't look like he hit me because I didn't falter, nothing happened, I didn't go anywhere, I stood my ground. It made me, if anything, from a distance on both sides. It made it look like I made Kylo miss. Mm-hmm. And that's even fucking cooler.
Yeah.
Because you see him dodge the blade, and then this time you see him, we got him, and he's like, just spins. You're like, oh, he missed. Like, what did he do? Like, how did he get past that? He's so fast. I didn't see him dodge Kylo's full frontal attack. You know what I mean? But that scene, so to Mike, I did not. The whole him looking younger thing, I got what I saw was he cut his hair finally. He dressed a little better. He dressed in, you know, his normal black garb over top of his whites. And he's just now, because his hair was shorter and obviously his beard was shorter, but it was darker. I just figured that was he cut the gray out.
Yeah.
You know, like he's just there. Retrospect, obviously, I know exactly what he was doing. He was trying to get in Kylo's head because he looked exactly like he did the last time Kylo saw him, except for one thing. And the one other thing added in is what I pointed out to Joe, is what threw me off while I was watching it. Was the lightsaber.
And I agree with that because it was like, wait, where'd he get that lightsaber from? But for me, it just suddenly went, oh shit, this is getting awesome because of the shot at.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was for. Like, he ignites that lightsaber after he dusts off his shoulder, you know? You're like, oh shit. But what I saw is, so he makes his entrance, right? He's in the shadow. He comes out. He says his hellos to everybody. He winks at C-3PO.
Which is hilarious.
Because, again, retrospect, you go back, C-3PO is like, he knows something's off because he has, unlike you and I, we are being tricked to seeing a real human. He can probably see the fact that he's not actually there. Like, he sees a different, he doesn't see a solid object. Right. You know what I mean? There's no life force there. He's like, but he didn't say anything. He's just like normal C-3PO, he's fucking super confused when things happen outside of his normal rational brain can do.
Speaking of C-3PO, just real quick, I love the line that Leia had, wipe that nervous grin off your face, and he's just nervous.
Look on your face.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is my face, yeah.
It's hilarious.
So like that, I was like, oh, cool, like that's old school Luke right there, you know, giving the wink, you know, and then little knot, and a little, you know, what's up, buddy? And of course he walks out there just right past the fucking rebels, and they're like, yo, motherfucking seeing this? Is that Luke Skywalker? Like, my stars. You know, Poe's like,
yeah.
It's happening. Like, what we've been working for is he's here. Like, yes, finally, you know, we're going to see this. And that's when it finally clicks, like, oh, he's going to go face these motherfuckers down, and he's going to give us a chance to get the fuck out of here, right? But, so he goes out there, and I'm like, is he really going to, like... I didn't expect Kylo to open fire on him. I was like, oh, he's gonna call Kylo out. Like, he's going to fucking six-gun draw him, you know what I mean? Like, this is our battle at noon. And I was like, oh, this is going to be fucking dope. And, of course, Kylo fucking takes the panty waist away out and says, nope, fire on him. Every goddamn blaster you have, you empty on that human... That's that fucking man right there.
Yep.
You need to shoot him. That's how fucking scared he is of his former master. He's like, no, I have enough power to knock the hole in that door. I need you to let him have it. And that barrage goes, and finally he's just asking for more and more and more, and he's getting more pissed off. And finally Hux has to call the dogs off. And of course, smoke clears ish. He walks out. I'm like, this motherfucker just, because I almost expected, if he was really there, to like a jump out of the way. Mm-hmm. You know, so the smoke clears and he's not there. And then all of a sudden you see him up on top of the door or something, you know? Like, we just barely saw him. We didn't get to really see him jump out of the way, but I was like, nope, he walks out. I was like, holy shit, this motherfucker is right back in motion. He stopped all that incoming blaster fire and walked away from it.
Yeah.
Dusted himself off, and I was like, oh. And then when you see this, I saw the saber, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Something's wrong here. I was like, is this a continuity error? Why does he have the now destroyed Vader saber?
Yeah.
He has Anakin's saber, which the last time we saw it was torn in half. I was like, there's something wrong with this. And when he ignites it, it's a blue blade. And I was like, nope, that's not correct. I was like, something's wrong with this. But then I was just like, my nerd boner took over. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. I don't care if this is the world's worst fucking, like, continuity error, like the microphone's visible inside American Gangster.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. This is going to be amazing. And at first it was. And then he cuts through him, and I was like, hey, why didn't you disappear or become two pieces? And then I was like, also, why don't you have a smoldering line through your body? Oh, you're not here.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part was, there's a point where they show you before he makes that attack, when he first comes at him and he spins out of the way before he does the Matrix move, and he's on the other side of Kylo. If you watch, he's on the white sand or the white things, and he doesn't leave footprints.
Yeah, that's the biggest one I noticed.
And I didn't notice it the first time because I was too busy just fucking geeking out over it.
They set it up. I don't know why I caught this, but yeah, it was the short hair and this dark beard, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's projecting himself as what Kylo remembers, and he's gonna piss Kylo off. Like, I for some reason that's the first thing I went to. And then when he walked out, before they even like reference it, he walked out and there's no footprints, and everyone else that's rocking out there.
Incorrect.
Hmm?
So incorrect. When he walks out, the ground he walks out on is blasted from the door being opened.
Well, yeah. So
at that point, he can't make footprints because it's already charred.
But he's walking out, and then there's a scene where
before the battle starts, yeah, where that one commander walks on the and makes the footprints.
Yeah, it makes.
And that's where you get the reference.
And so and then there's a spot where when Kylo comes down, he digs his feet in, and he's not even making a step; he's just digging his feet.
Yeah, he goes to the battle stance. Yeah,
a little bit of red, and Luke looks at it and smiles, and I'm like,
oh, I don't think he smiles at the red. No, I think he smiles at the stance.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Because he's got his goat. But there's an eye line down.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He like looks him up and down, and he just smiles at him, like knowing like there's nothing. Like, he doesn't get this.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah. He hasn't gleaned the fact that I'm not really here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. Like I said, I don't think he's smiling at the fact that he's showing footprints.
No,
he's
no,
going into he's battle stance. Like this motherfucker's so
basically
in his mind. Yeah. Like, he's so emotional, he can't tell the fact that I'm not fucking here in front of him. But yes, like when he, because he makes that dodge and he's finally off that charred area, and you see him when he basically brings his feet back together. Like, I didn't notice until I was telling Joe the second viewing, motherfucker didn't have footprint. He didn't leave footprints. So I was like, oh, I should have easily seen that last time, but I was so enthralled in it. Like, they did such a good job because they foreshadow the whole thing with the whole, obviously, the way he looked, because he didn't look like that on Octu. The fact that, like, you know, how the fuck did he get into a sealed base and no one knew? That should have given right away, because before that, they tell you there's no other way out. Like, we are fucked right now, right? They already blasted a fucking hole, and we know we can't go out this hole, because as soon as one of us goes, hey, what's up, guys? Just blaster fire, you know what I mean? That should have given away. But then the other foreshadowing part is when they are getting ready for the battle before the skiffs come out, that dude goes out of the line, and he walks in those three footprints, and then the cameo that I noticed of Garth Edwards, by the way. Did you see him? So in that scene, that dude gets up and he binoculars up and sees the incoming forces. The one soldier reaches over and touches the red and tastes it, and he goes, salty. And the guy who looks at him next to him, that's Garth Edwards, the guy who directed Rogue One.
Huh.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yep. No, did I?
Because I kept looking for Ryan, because Ryan, I read a thing said Ryan did was in it somewhere. So he might just be someone in makeup, you know?
I was looking for Edgar Wright, right? Was that right?
I was looking for everybody, yeah. Because, like, I mean, there's so many just people everywhere. It's like, who are you? Are you someone famous? But yeah, that whole scene was just fucking, it was so good.
It was really good.
I remember we got done watching it on Thursday, and we were standing out front talking. And I look at the guys, I'm like, I didn't, like, it just, like, it got, like, I completely got enthralled in it, and I did not even notice any of that. And I even looked at them, I was like, even the fact I thought there was a continuity error with the lightsaber, I just let it go. I'm like, fuck it, I don't give a shit. Like, oh, well, you fucked up, you know what I mean? Like, we know the saber he routinely uses now is green. It looks more like Obi-Wan's than it does Anakin's, and you can clear, like, when he picks up, he does a good job of when he holds it up for the first time before he ignites it, he's holding so low you can see the top of it and you see the crown and you can recognize that it's Anakin's lightsaber, and of course it ignites and is blue, and you're like, to me I was like, all right, well, whatever, you guys fucked up, cool, let's go. Let's have a fucking lightsaber fight, let's do our second sword fight in this fucking movie between the two people we ultimately want to see fight each other. But, you know.
Yep.
Fucking goddamn, it was so good.
And it was so well done that I'm not even super mad that we didn't actually get that fight.
Yeah.
Because they hype it up, and then it never really happens, but it didn't need to happen. Like, your excitement, you want it to.
Yep.
But it's better for the story. Because you want
to
see
bad versus, or evil versus good, and good versus evil, that sort of thing, right? But to me, afterwards, I was like, you know what? That's actually better.
Yeah,
because he defeated Kylo on a different level than anyone could have ever.
And he's going to be so fucking pissed off the next movie, dude. He's already so super pissed off, reckless, dude.
He's in that fucking base and he picks up those dice and they disappear in his hand. I was like, you have no grasp on it, dude. You're done. Like, you're so fucking far in the weeds.
He's full blown. Like, I don't think there's any conflict anymore because he has no reason for conflict. His mom and dad are... Or I guess his mom's not dead yet.
But he has conflict for sure.
Well, the problem is he's full blown.
Yeah, the problem is he's gone.
Yeah.
The only thing that I don't want to say redeeming thing he do, but the only thing that could bring him back is the fact that he finally realizes he being on his own, being the leader is not what he wants. He doesn't want to be that. Is the only thing I can think of is gonna bring like would edge him back the other way. And realizing he is wrong in thinking that he needs to do what he's doing. But yeah, at this point it's like, all right, I mean maybe this is the first time we see someone who has that ability to be on the line is just, nope, I bought in, I'm done. I'm finished doing what someone else wants me to. I'm gonna do what I feel I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna be just that fucking monster. And I think what helps that tip over that fact is obviously he kills Snoke and one of the fucking greatest scenes in any Star Wars movie, let alone just movies in general. But then he gets turned down by Rey, and then he gets frustrated and fucking made look like a fucking chump in front of his new people by his old former master that he hates.
Hux is the one telling him not to do it, too.
Yep.
The fact that he was right is just gonna...
And that look that Hux gives him, like, doesn't really give him, but looks at him with, when he goes into that, and the Stormtroopers are just literally looking at him like, there's no one here. Like, we can use scanners until there's nobody here anymore. But, like, he looks at Kylo through the doorway, and he's like, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, if you would just listen to me, this would have been over. Would have been over. But nope. You had to prove that you're the big bad, and guess what? You fucking failed.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Minute 19?
That's good.
Any last thoughts?
Mike's well, we something. Can talk about this next week, but I'm really interested to get your guys' thoughts on what you think, what direction you think they're going to take on the next one.
I feel sorry for them. For only one reason, because they had their outline planned, and now it's kind of... I mean, it, obviously it's nobody's fault, but like it sucks because the whole plan was episode 7 was going to be focusing on Han, episode 8 was going to be focusing on Luke, and episode 9 was focusing on Leia. That's kind of... That plan is sort of ruined now.
Yeah.
Because that was supposed to be the that was the story arc they're going with. But now it's going to be a tougher one to do. It's going to I mean obviously they're going they probably have a plan. They probably
had a plan as soon as you know. Kylo versus Rey is going to be the whole
Well, yeah, it was going to be that way anyways. Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was the background story.
Yeah, that was good, like cuz in this one obviously Leia was more prominent than she was in Force Awakens, but it was obviously Luke was the main point, just like Han was the main point. You know, you had scenes with just Han, and that seems that was supposed to be the ultimate plan was that was going to be Leia's send off movie. I don't know if she was going to die at the end or whatever, but that was supposed to be her ultimate. She's the main focus of the old guard in that movie. Well, they can't do that anymore, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, I feel I don't want to say feel sorry for those writers, but I'm like, damn, you guys. Your outlines, nah. I mean, it can't be skewed too much because the ultimate fact is the good versus evil is Rey versus Kylo.
Yeah.
But what is that? What is the story now that Leia is no longer in the picture directly in the picture? You can still make her be in it, you know, by reference and things like that. She could be off rebuilding the Republic while Poe and so and so are in charge of the Resistance, rebuilding it with Rey and. All that fun stuff, so I don't know. But tough choices to be made for sure.
Yeah.
By smarter people and higher paid people than me.
Higher paid, not smarter. We'd make Star Wars real awesome. No, it'd just be all sword fights. Sword fights and
laser sword fights. Yeah.
That's all we would
We would do what most people want.
Yeah.
And it would not be much of a story.
No.
I'd be like, yo, y'all want people?
You want that super cut of just ridiculous space action? Let's do it.
You want that super cut of just force users just fucking each other up? Okay, let's do this. Yeah. You want story? No, you can go fuck yourself. How's that?
Get the fuck out of here.
Here's your story. Story is lightsaber, cut through people. Ships, shoot people. There's your fucking story, all right? Get out of here. Speaking of getting out of here, comes Ashley. We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody, and as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.